You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
O God, who have called us to participate in this most sacred supper, into which your only begotten Son went about to hand himself over to death, entrusted to the Church a sacrifice new for all eternity, the banquet of his love, grant, we pray, that we may draw from so great a mystery the fullness of charity and of life, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to the Father's Quilt. Brothers and sisters, I've been last broadcast in this for the next little bit. I'm sharing some thoughts about spiritual strength. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the power of the cross. In Hebrews 9:14, Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Once we fully commit our lives to Jesus, my friends, to live completely for him, we need to understand a new dimension of life in Christ, the power of the cross. The cross of Christ is the highest expression of the Spirit of Christ, the obedience and self-denial that Christ demonstrated when he endured the cross are his chief characteristics. They are what distinguish him from everyone in heaven and earth, and what give him his glory as mediator on the throne throughout eternity. Until we truly know the Spirit who led Christ to the cross, we neither truly know Christ nor the cross. Moreover, once we've come to know the nature of the Spirit who led Christ to the cross, we will see that this knowledge is only one aspect of the great subject of the Spirit of the cross. The Scriptures do not teach us that when Christ bore the cross and fulfilled the atonement, the meaning of the cross was exhausted. They do not indicate that when we trust in the finished work of the cross, our only relationship to it is one of grateful confidence in what it has accomplished for us. No, the Word of God tells us that in the most intimate spiritual fellowship, the way of the cross is to be our life. We are to live as if we have been crucified with Christ, which we have been. We are to walk as those who have crucified the flesh and who can conquer it in no other way but by continually regarding it as crucified. We are to take up our cross day by day and to glory in it. Every moment of our lives, our relationship to the world is to be that of those who are crucified to it and who know and believe that the world is crucified to them. Therefore, if the nature of the cross is to produce and characterize the only true Christian life, if we are to have the same attitude toward the cross that Jesus had, we need to know what it was that made the spirit of the cross the only power by which Christ could gain life for us, or by which we can possess and enjoy life in him. The path in which Jesus Christ walked didn't derive its value from the amount of suffering it required, or from his actual surrender to death, but from the mindset that motivated him. That mindset was not something strange or different that came to him in his last hour. It was what motivated and inspired him throughout the whole course of his earthly life. And it is only as this perspective becomes the principle of the life of the believer that the thought of being crucified with Christ can have anything like true meaning. How did our Lord have this mind that was in him and the power to carry it out at any cost? It was this eternal spirit who was in Christ from his birth, who taught him to say words that contained the seed of his obedience and self-denial on the cross. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, I must be about my Father's business. It was the Spirit who led Christ to humble himself and to be treated as a sinner by being baptized in the Jordan River by John. It was the Spirit who descended on Jesus like a dove to prepare Christ for the death for which he was set apart. It was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who led our Lord into the wilderness to resist and overcome and begin the struggle that ended on Calvary. It was through this Holy Spirit that he was led, step by step, to speak of and to face and to bear all he had to suffer. And through the prophets in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, through the prophets, the Spirit of Christ testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. In the same way, it was through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that all was fulfilled and accomplished. The Holy Spirit of God, dwelling in flesh, leads inevitably and triumphantly to the cross. The cross is the perfect expression of the mind of the Spirit, of what he asks and works. When God took possession of human nature to free it from sin and fill it with himself, the only way he could do it was by slaying it. In the whole universe, there is no possibility of freedom from the power of sin, except by personal separation from it through entire death to it. What God demands, the Spirit works. He worked his will in the man Christ Jesus, the spotless Holy One, who, because of his union with us and because he was our forerunner in the path of life, needed to die to sin. He works his will now, even now, as the Spirit of Christ dwells in each of us, brothers and sisters. Let us who desire to be filled with the Spirit consider the nature of the Spirit of the cross. So there is a deep meaning and connection between taking one's cross and following Christ. A believer must deny himself before he can take up his cross and follow Christ. Even while the Christian is striving earnestly to follow Christ and in some measure to take up his cross, there is a secret power that resists and opposes and prevents him. The very person who is praying and vowing and struggling to follow fully what his desire and will and heart are apparently set on in his innermost self, refuses the cross to which his Lord has called him. Self, the real center of his being, the controlling power, refuses to accept it. And so Christ teaches us that we must begin with the total denial of self. taking up one's cross, my friends, means accepting and surrendering to our Lord, letting Him take control of our lives, letting Him guide us, reprimand us, teach us, love for us, care for us. Christ calls us to love nothing more than to love Him, to lose our life, to disallow what gives life in its own value. And I don't mean in the physical sense, brothers and sisters. I would hate anyone to think something ridiculous. I want you to understand that it's your spirit, you know, it's your heart. Because your spirit is open to everything. We live, brothers and sisters, in a very pagan world. We live in a very, very weird world these days. And I think of my own little grandson who's going to grow up in this bizarre, weird world. And I don't want to say it frightens me, but it makes me a little sad. But with Jesus, all of us, we can make changes in our lives to help others. We can transform our lives from sin to goodness. We can not be desperate and complaining. We can decide to be grateful. We don't have to live with resentment. We can decide to forgive. We don't have to live with pettiness. We can deride to be noble. And instead of giving worrying and gloom and doom, decide to be joyful. This is the way of the cross. This is taking up your cross with whatever is going on in your life, whatever challenges you're facing, taking up our cross, accepting it, and surrendering ourselves to Christ. Right? So when one does that, they love the cross. They will recognize it as the appointed power of God for freeing them from the evil power that is the only thing hindering them from being fully conformed to the image of God's Son. To deny self is a work of the inner spirit, and taking the cross is the manifestation of this work. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." When we receive insight into what the denial of self means, it becomes clear why the cross must be taken up daily. Taking up one's cross is not only called for during a time of special trial or suffering. During times of quiet and prosperity, the need is even more urgent. Self is the enemy that is always near and always seeking to regain its power. Right? And the evil one wants you to be focused on self. He doesn't want you focused on Jesus. He doesn't want you praying your rosary. He doesn't want you sitting quietly in the church in front of the Blessed Sacrament during even times of adoration, praying and focused on Jesus. He doesn't want any of that. And that's where the self comes in, brothers and sisters. We have to deny ourself and focus on Jesus. You know, not long ago, we had a Lenten recollection, and we had an amazing, wonderful priest from New York. And I will just say that his name was Father Giuseppe. And Father Giuseppe had said, so many people come to him, he said, and whether it's confession or just chatting to him and say, oh, I've always been a worrier. I always have this problem. I'm always doing that. I always seem to make the same mistake. And Father Giuseppe said, no, when you focus on self, that's where all the trouble begins. When you focus on Jesus, when you focus on the cross, and you focus more of Him and less of you, the Holy Spirit will help you and will turn your life around. It's not going to be instantaneous, but the beginnings and the seeds are there. You just need to focus on Jesus. Stop and say to yourself, you know what? Enough of this that I've been doing and repeating the same mistakes. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm not going to go to the left. I'm going to go to the right from now on. And stop. Just stop. We have to stop. So whatever is concerning us, and you say, oh, I'm such a worrier. I've always been a worrier. Like as if it's a medal or like it's a badge. Like you're wearing a badge. Look at me. I am a worrier. No, it's nothing. It's something that can be changed. You don't have to live your life like that. Focus on Jesus. Ask him to transform your life, and he will, guaranteed. So, focus on Christ, right? When we hear this call, follow me, we think chiefly of all it implies for us. It is necessary that we do so, but it's not the chief thing. As we think of denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, we realize how little we know of what that really means and how little we are able to perform, even what we do know. So we need to focus our hearts on Jesus, my friends, again, who calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. On Calvary, he opened the way for us, and he led us even to the throne of God's power. Yes, so let's focus our hearts on Jesus, on God's power. Focus your heart on him. He will lead you. He will lead you. The hidden wisdom of God is a mystery. Let us follow Christ with a true desire to let him lead us. Let us live as a life fully as he did, to the glory of the Father, and let us enter with Christ through death into the fullness of life, brothers and sisters. So we can draw near to God, right? So the way of the cross is the pathway to life in Christ. And now I want to show you how the cross enables us to draw near to God. The cross speaks of sin. It is only by comprehending the evil of sin and fully admitting that it is hatred against God that man can come to God. The cross speaks of the curse, which is God's judgment against sin. As long as man does not accept and affirm that God's judgment is righteous, there can be no thought of his being restored to God's presence. The cross speaks of suffering. When we suffer, it is only as we accept the will of God and give up everything to that will that we can have union with God. The cross speaks of death. It is only as man is ready to completely part with his whole present life, to die to it, that he can enter into or fully receive to himself the life and glory of God. Christ himself did all this. His whole life was animated by the crucifixion spirit. When Christ bore the cross and entered into God's holy presence, he opened up a way in which we too could draw near to God. When he bore God's judgment for sin by his death, he put away sin. He made an end of sin. The cross and the blood and the death of Christ are God's assurance to the sinner, that's you and I, that there is immediate acquittal and everlasting admission to God's favor and friendship for each one who will accept and entrust himself to the Savior. All the claims that God's law had against us and all the power that sin and Satan had over us are at an end. The death of Jesus destroyed sin and death. The path of the cross is the path Christ has opened for us. In it, we have full freedom and power to draw near to God. The path of the cross is the only way mankind can come to God. It is the path in which Christ himself walked, the path that he opened for us, the path in which we too walk, and the only path in which we can lead others. The way of the cross was the way in which Jesus as man personally walked throughout his whole life. The cross was the path to God, even for Jesus himself. If there was no path to God for Christ except through death, the entire giving up of his life, how much more must this be the only path in which a sinner can come to be filled with the life of God? And now, that Christ's death is an accomplished fact, the death and the life that we receive in him are the power of his absolute surrender working in us. And this leads, my dear friends, to the blessed indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is this kind of faith that enables a believer to say joyfully, I am crucified with Christ. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6. The crucifixion spirit. Daily bearing and glorifying in the cross becomes indeed the path to God. And so, and in this path, my friends, we can win others for Christ and bless them. It was as the crucified one giving his life for men that Christ won the power to bless people. It was Peter's full acceptance of the sufferings that Christ underwent on his way to glory, of which he speaks in his first epistle, that filled the apostle with boldness to testify for his Lord. It was the intensity of Paul's desire for perfect conformity to his Lord's suffering that gave him his power as an apostle. The power of God's Spirit will work through the church in the measure to which God's people gives themselves to him as a sacrifice for men. It is Christ crucified who saves men. It is Christ crucified, living and breathing in us, who can and will use for his saving work. Jesus living and working in us already, brothers and sisters. He's in you and he's in me. He's in your little grandchildren. He's in your spouse. He's in your children. He's in your wife. He's in your parents. That means he's in your neighbor, everyone. That means that we are to forget ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves, to suffer anything so that the lost may be won. So, brothers and sisters, we are drawing near, but I will say this, that there is an enemy of the cross. When God created the earth, he placed Adam in paradise, not only to work it, but to take care of it. And it's evident that there must have been some evil power that Adam had to watch for and guard against, right? Right? So since everything God created during the 6 days was very good, the evil must have been in existence previously. Scripture does not reveal how the evil came to exist or where it came from, other than it refers to a serpent. It is enough for us to know that it exists and it existed. Right, that it threatened the very center of the new creation, the Garden of Eden. Right, so the terrible history of mankind can never be correctly understood until we allow Scripture to teach us. Even as God's purpose rule over us, there is the other hand, amid what appears to be nothing but natural growth and development. On a scale that we can hardly imagine, through the slow length of ages that God's patience endures, amid all the freedom of human will and action, there is an unceasing contest going on. And though the outcome is not in question, the struggle is long, right? Brothers and sisters, we're constantly challenged and destructive at times. And in the history of that struggle, the cross is the turning point. The cross is a triumph, right? The cross is a triumph. When Christ died on the cross, the very grave gave up its dead. And so he triumphed over our enemy, death. In the spiritual world, the cross is the symbol of victory. He led the principalities and powers in triumph as prisoners. Their power was broken forever. The gate of the prison in which they held men captive was broken open, and freedom was proclaimed to all their prisoners. The prince of this world has been cast out. He no longer, get this, he no longer has power to hold in bondage those who long for deliverance. That's you and I. So if anything is being a challenge for you, that you feel bondage, whether it's money, whether it's drinking, drugs, overeating, undereating, not eating enough, anger, those are bonds, bondage. You are under bondage. He now, the evil one, only rules over those who consent to be his slaves. We don't have to be a slave to him, brothers and sisters. We have the free will that Jesus gave us. God gave us a free will. You can choose and say, I choose to be free. The great lesson in the second chapter of Colossians is that the cross is a triumph, right? It began when Christ cried, "It is finished." That was the beginning of a triumphal procession in which Christ moves on through the world in hidden glory, leading his ransomed ones into liberty. And the believer can now continually rejoice, "Now thanks be unto God." Thanks be to God. So, my friends, how are we doing for time? I guess we're doing okay. So, in faith, we must learn to say through all our service and warfare, "Thanks be unto God." The cross, with its foolishness and weakness, its humiliation and shame, is the everlasting sign of the victory that Christ has won by mighty weapons that are spiritual, not carnal. Right, brothers and sisters? We are in a spiritual battle. And even though it may look like the evil one is winning, his time is running short. His time is short. That's why he's on a rampage. That's why you see what you see today. It's unbelievable. You just wake up in the morning and you're afraid to hear the news of one more thing. You know, when you get to the having children, obtaining guns, stealing cars, taking guns into the school, stabbing one another. These are children. Children killing children. It's very disturbing, brothers and sisters. As Father Mark Goring said, the world has gone bonkers. But we don't have to buy into that. We have a Savior, and we know what's going to happen in the end. We know who wins this battle. We know. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, there will be no tears, there will be no pain, there will be only joy. Only joy of being in the presence of the Almighty God, of Almighty Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we have so much to be happy for. The cross is the symbol of victory, my friends, the victory that the church and every servant of Christ, that's you and I, can continually win as we enter more deeply into the character of our crucified Lord. And in this way, we yield more fully to him. Brothers and sisters, God bless, and we will see you next time here on The Father's Quilt. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. And though you left too soon. a single